The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, and welcome back. Hope you had a nice day. It's Wednesday. We have a lot of fallout from last night's extraordinary three-hour program. You can hear it anytime you'd like. Just go to rents.com. Look on the right-hand side. Look for the JFK reverse speech feature, and you can click on that and listen. Commercial-free. It was staggering. Let me not harp too much on it, but I've never in 23, going on 24 years, ever heard anything like I heard last night. David Oates put together a program that you'll just never forget. I guarantee it. Go listen to it. Next Tuesday, David Oates, Jim Mars, and Dick Allgaier will be back for part two. We have about 2 hours worth of material that we didn't get to last night in the 3 hours we had. Let me say, in short summation, the murder of John F. Kennedy and the primaries involved in planning and carrying it out have all been firmly identified. Motives, operational capacities, parameters, plans, the works. First hour last night, largely speech reversals of Lee Harvey Oswald, hour two, Lyndon Johnson, hour three, Dulles. There was so much. It was just overwhelming. And then Dwight D. Eisenhower, who clearly knew about it, not saying he planned it, but he was fully briefed and aware of it. You can tell that. There's no question about it. You've got to listen to this program. It is a once-in-a-lifetime event when we actually have resolved the crime of the last century, the murder of John Fitzgerald Kennedy in broad daylight in Dealey Plaza. Is a stunning program, and more to come next Tuesday. Tonight and tomorrow night, two special programs with SharkHunters.com, SharkHunters President Harry Cooper, who just spent the month of February on an extraordinary expedition to Argentina, Brazil, and Uruguay, and we're going to find out more tonight from Harry about what he learned, some of the fascinating people he met, some of the amazing places he went to. We're going to take a photo tour, a journey with Harry tonight and tomorrow night to get caught up with all the remarkable things that he has been doing in the last month or so. If you go to guests, click on Harry Cooper's name, or go right to photos under that. That'll take you right directly to where we need to be. And that'll bring up the Shark Hunters International 2016 Hitler in Argentina expedition, in which Harry went down there and did so much. Just days after falling off a ladder, which should have killed him. He is a remarkable man, and this is going to be another remarkable program. And we are very glad to have you on board tonight. Admiral, welcome aboard yourself, sir.
Thank you. I haven't fallen off my roof lately.
Well, the best way to avoid that is not climb up there.
Well, yeah, I had work to do. I've been up there twice already. I had to buy a new ladder. The other one got all twisted. But you
actually have gone up there again?
Yeah, twice.
All right, well, that's like being at a NASCAR race, crashing at 198 miles an hour, and going back at it the next week.
Well, I crashed at 140 once during a Thursday race, and by Sunday I had the car back on the track, and I was running again.
I believe it, my friend. I believe it. That's really amazing.
It didn't hurt me, but boy, it sure did make a mess of my wallet.
Well, you're tough Irishman, tough as nails.
I was looking at some of the pictures of myself on that tour to South America this last time around.
Yeah.
Boy, I look like the bottom of a duck's foot. I just don't look like myself. I guess I hadn't really recovered from the fall. I don't even remember.
Harry, what it looks like, you just look like you've been dazed, hit hard, and your whole body took a shock, but you did it. You did something that few people could even imagine doing, and I for one, am awestruck by what you continue to accomplish. It's just amazing.
It's a lot of fun.
I know. Well, you're letting me and all of our listeners and all of your wonderful members who are all over the world, and many of them are listening tonight or will listen in the days to come and weeks to come, you're letting all of them share in some of that fun and that extraordinary discovery that happens every time you go looking for something.
We keep peeling the skin off the onion, and every time we peel off the skin, there's more under there, and we meet so many people that have had to do with this history in one way or another, and it's a hell of a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, what you have done for the world it's Harry Cooper. Don't be fooled by anybody else who has put a book out about the alleged death of Adolf Hitler and Eva Braun. They didn't die in the bunker, and those people who have stolen Harry's work and put out books haven't gotten the story quite right, or haven't even gotten the story closely to being right in many ways, but they're trying to make money on his work. He first put out a book over 20 years ago called Escape from the Bunker, which was largely derived from was it handwritten or hand-typed? I forget.
It was typed, the letter from Don Angel Alcazar de Velasco, 114 pages long, single-space typed.
He was in the bunker, ladies and gentlemen. At the end, he saw Adolf Hitler and Eva Braun taken out on stretchers. I assume their heads were covered up.
Not on stretchers. They were barely able to walk, but they were...
Ah, they did ambulate out of there then.
Yeah,
okay.
They were drugged heavily to where, under orders of Martin Bormann.
Yeah.
And removed. Now, from the 23rd of April on, there were no orders signed by Hitler. All the orders were signed by Bormann after that.
Yeah, right. Okay. Now, that brings most of you up to date. Many of you listening are well familiar with Harry's heroic work on all of our behalfs and the odds he has faced in doing what he's done. They've been enormous, but he's done it. And we're not nearly finished with this story. We're going to stay with it as long as we're here. So we'll do it. Now, the page you're on, the photo page, it's, again, just look for photos under Harry Cooper's name in the guests section on the left-hand side of Rents, and click, and we'll go, let's go right to it. Where are we, Harry? How many more photos have you added? Dozens?
Well, I'm not on your photo page. I'm on my page of the expedition, which I thought we were going to
That's
go
where
on.
We're going. We're going on your page.
Okay.
And I'm looking
no,
at day 20, I think, is where we stopped.
I think so, yeah, day 20. Oh, yeah. Oh, this was... This was the day we almost lost me again. Okay, so you click on that big red sign.
Yeah, look. You can click on the picture itself?
Yeah, click on the picture of Sendero a la Casa de Bormann.
I know that name, Bormann.
Yeah, they forgot the second N on his name.
I noticed, yes.
You see what a big secret that place is.
It's a hidden architectural treasure, yeah. How would anyone ever find it without that neon sign?
This is the one on that show, Hunting Hitler, where they claim they found the ruins, which they said was Hitler's house. It was not. It was a safe house for people crossing into other countries,
mm-hmm.
and if I'm told correctly by my people who are watching it, they claim that they were the ones that found it. As you'll see, it's a state park that's been open for since 1995.
How funny. A state park. Wow.
So there's another thing that we're going to be coming out with very soon. I got that has to do with people going to jail and frauds, et cetera, connected with that show. But that's not something we're going to release just yet.
Oh, I'm glad to hear it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't like theft. Never have. Plagiarism, same thing. Don't like it. It disgusts me. It's immoral. It's illegal. It's just wrong.
Dishonorable, sure. So we go on, we click on that sign, and here we go. Of course, I took a picture of our lunch room there, our restaurant, big deal.
Now, you can always, whenever we go on a tour, an expedition, a journey with Harry Cooper, we always get to see wonderful restaurants.
Well, let me tell you this. I'm not sure I'd consider this a wonderful restaurant. This was attached to our hotel, and it was a decent, clean hotel, air-conditioned room, clean. Everything was clean, shower, et cetera. By the time you're done with the conversion, it was $10 a night with breakfast.
Oh, wow. High end, five stars, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, well, no, maybe three stars.
Yeah, but, two and a half.
Yeah, it was a decent place, but cheap, real cheap. That was in Argentina, 15 pesos to the dollar. When we were in Uruguay, it was 30 pesos to the dollar. And Argentina is just, their economy's in the toilet. They got 35% inflation per year.
What I do on these pictures, folks, and maybe some of you have, I have a handheld magnifying glass, and I can get right in these pictures. It's fun. It's fun.
You can get... Yeah, I've got mine up on a fairly decent monitor.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, you see the one sign there where it says, after a long ride down this modern highway, it's just dirt. It's just where they didn't plant anything that year. And photo on the right, that's my guide, my friend Martin.
Where are we right here?
Argentina.
Okay, now that road goes off to the left straight away and down.
Yeah, straight ahead on the left, and on the right it swings to the right, and that's to the secret the secret house.
The unknown home, I got it.
Allegedly, which it ain't. So,
isn't that where the Ark of the Covenant is hidden in that house?
Yeah, right. I think so. And the crystal skull. So, anyhow, there's Martin buying stuff from the locals. These are people that don't have two nickels to rub together, and right. He likes to. He's got a good job back in Buenos Aires, and we pay him well for his time. I don't get paid for doing this, but Martin does. So anyhow, we scroll down a little bit, and you see where it says Parque Provincial Tehu Kawari, whatever.
Right.
And it's a state park. You know, this is the secret place that TV show found.
God.
Scroll down again, and you find the big wooden thing that has the map, and you'll see the river.
Uh-huh.
And then the close-up, which is the right-side photo, ruins of the House of Borman.
Is that the River Borman by any chance?
No. Yeah. I think that's the Paraná River. I don't know the name, but...
I'm just kidding.
You're right smack on the border, right across that river is Paraguay, and off to the east a little bit is Brazil. So you're in a perfect place to... You know, if somebody's chasing you, like back in 1948, 49, 50, whatever, you're in a perfect spot to zip across the river or go over to Brazil.
Got it.
And we scroll down a little bit, and Martin is not doing a dance. He's not doing the tango. He's putting on more bug spray. We were in the area where the dengue virus originated.
Now it's probably Zika. I got a lot of Zika down there, although it's not not a terminal virus. Most people just get right past it. It's nothing much, but it does cause, it's linked to microcephaly in babies of the unborn. If their mothers are infected in the first trimester, they can end up with a child that has a very undersized brain.
Right. Well, you mean they become Democrats?
That's it. You got
okay.
it.
Well, my friend who I saw a few days later, who we'll probably meet on this show tonight or tomorrow, he's a doctor, and he said they not only carry dengue's virus and Zika, they also carry yellow fever.
Oh,
so,
nice.
Yeah, you just don't want to get into that.
No, man's greatest enemy is said to be the mosquito. That's an old line, and it's quite true in many ways.
Yeah, well, they carry just about every kind of disease. Here we see the two park rangers giving us tips. It, the one guy there in the green shirt, Miguel, he's the one who told us that when that TV series came there with the cameras, they brought a pocket full of Third Reich coins, which they scattered around so they could discover them on camera.
He confirmed that.
Yeah, well, how, he's the one who told us about
how,
that.
How sickening.
Yeah, they're salting the mine there.
Oh, that, well, that's gross fraud. Sickening.
What a surprise.
Yeah, yeah.
One step below the National Enquirer, maybe? I don't know. And I've written to the woman who's head of A&E, and A&E, if I understand it correctly, owns the History Channel and several others, and they, in turn, are either owned by Disney or partners with Disney or something like that. And she never even had the decency to
write
me a letter back or tell me go to hell or anything like that. So
that's how they handle uncomfortable situations. They
well, sure, as long as they're selling their ad time, what do they need to worry about accuracy?
Now, when you heard that from Miguel, did you? Was that the first time you'd heard that from him?
It was the first time we heard
told
that
you. About the fraud. That must have made you angry. I would have been.
Well, just kind of made me kind of.
Oh, like here we go again?
Yeah, kind of sick, you know, because I would never do anything like that. You know, if I find something, fine. That's because it was there. But you don't fake it like that. But you know, what can I tell you? So, you know, and they're making millions on that. And as you know, I don't make a salary at all here. I'm an old fart. I'm retired. I don't make any money. Thanks to our members who donated to this cause, that's how I didn't have to take any money out of my own pocket. We had some really great members who sent donations, and that covered the cost of the trip.
Thank God. And we'll talk later about other trips that shark hunters take, and that you can go along and see real history with Harry Cooper.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, here we see Martine filling. My computer just locked up. There we go. Martine is filling our water bottle. Thank God. Miguel told us we better bring water with us. We scroll down, and you see we're standing on a bit of a rise, and you're looking at the river, and that's Paraguay across the river.
I see.
So how hard is it? Would it have been for those people to be staying here at this safe house and then zip across the river?
Yeah, they could bug right out international boundary, and they're over the other side. Yeah.
Exactly, and Stroessner was the president in Argentina or in Paraguay, and he was, he's a German.
Oh, that's right. He was president for quite a while.
Yeah,
I remember.
Yeah, and so he was working with the Third Reich in Argentina. Naturally, it was Perón who was. There's no doubt he was getting paid off big time. So now we look at the right side picture there, and that's Martine walking down that incline going
now,
into
it doesn't
the jungle.
Look, Harry, just so you know, as you know, in the picture, it looks like level ground. But that is not level ground. That is down slope.
No, that's a pretty good down slope there, too, and that's Martine going down there. You can see how far he is below me, and I'm only about 40, 50 feet up the hill.
I see.
And he's quite a bit below me, and remember, I had only been out of the hospital about 2 weeks by the time we got here. So,
how did you take the intravenous drip with you? I don't understand that. That's really a feat.
I've been called other things. I've never been called a drip before, but
only lovingly. All of your fans wouldn't begrudge it. I'm kidding, but you really, listen, Harry Cooper should not have been on this trip, all right? He should have been home recuperating, but he didn't want to disappoint any of his Shark Hunters members or himself, so he went. And
there were a lot of people who donated money for us to go. Plus, I had all the arrangements made with the people down there.
Right.
Martine has to take 2 weeks off work.
Uh-huh.
To go with me. Lawrence DeMello, who I think is the world's best researcher on Borman, she only had a small window of time to meet with me. And my friends, the doctors in Brazil, they were taking time off their practice to talk about the other thing we'll get to directly. So, you know, I couldn't very well just say, hey, well, too bad, guys. I ain't coming. You went to all this trouble for me, and
no. Well, I remember we talked several times, and you were gone, and
yeah,
that was
it. And as I look back on it, I don't even remember. You know, when I was in the hospital, I don't remember getting out of my clothes, getting into my hospital gown. I don't remember anything that went on the first day, and I don't even remember getting dressed to go home. So.
I talked to you the day you got home.
Yeah, I guess. Oh, did we? Okay.
I think, or the day after.
Yeah.
You called me when you were able to talk and you got high. Anyway, yeah, go ahead.
Landing on your head is not a good thing when you fall off your roof.
No.
So no. I decided not to do that anymore. I'll go up on the roof, but I won't fall off anymore.
I support that.
Yeah. So anyhow, we see on the on the right photo there, where it says part of our trek was in this stream bed. We had to walk about 100 yards in a stream bed, big deal, you know, so we're up to our ankles in water.
How hot is it there, Harry?
It was 47 degrees Celsius, which is over 120 degrees Fahrenheit. And it was,
are you kidding me? 120 degrees? I didn't know it was that hot.
It was over 120, and 100% humidity. And as you'd see the sun, when we got into the deeper jungle, you'd see the sunlight streaming through little open areas, and there was zillions of mosquitoes in the sunlight, but of course, they wouldn't bother us. Like I told you, when I got out of the shower each morning, I put repellent cream all over me. Then I got dressed and I sprayed every inch of me with spray repellent to where my clothes were soaking wet.
Mm-hmm.
And no self-respecting skunk would come near me, and neither did the mosquitoes. Thank God I didn't get any bites. Martine got bit once, but it was not a problem, so.
Good.
Thank God, yeah.
Hold on just a minute. We have to pause. We'll come right back. Harry Cooper and I will continue. We are on an expedition, and I hope you're with us and enjoying the pictures. We will continue. This is an extraordinary story, and we'll hear more right after this. Okay, let's get right back to our tour, our journey with Harry Cooper. You can hear the first part of this three-part series if you go back in the archives, if you're a subscriber here, or if you just go to sharkhunters.com, you can listen to it. It was on the 18th of March, and that's part one. So we're doing part two tonight. All right, my friend, go ahead.
Okay, well, you see where we're walking through the stream bed.
Yeah.
And finally get down, as it says there on the page, we've we've got many, many more photos in file, and I didn't want to put them all up there because you would just be drowning in photos. And in certain places we go, not so much here on this particular day, but certain places we go, there are photos that I can't release just yet anyhow. So we go down, and finally, after about, almost a mile, we get down to the ruins of this house.
In 120-degree weather with 100% humidity, folks. Yeah. Keep that in mind.
Higher than 120 degrees. It was 47 degrees Celsius. I don't know what the exchange rate is there, but it's over 120. It was not nice. It was brutal. So anyhow, you see the ruins there.
Uh-huh.
And you don't get a good perspective of it from the picture, but it's not a real big house. I think maybe four rooms, and it's not a place where somebody would live. Definitely not some big shot from the Third Reich.
These idiots claim that this is the house that Hitler was in for some period of time.
Yeah, they claim this is where... That's what I was told. I never watched the show because I don't watch humor, you know, comedy disguised as history. I'm told that they claim this was Hitler's home. And there's absolutely no proof it was Hitler's home. And judging from, you know, I do this, as you know, 12 hours a day. Even Saturday and part of Sunday.
I'm still up at 3 a.m. Pacific, and Harry's already at the desk in Florida. So
yeah, I'm at my desk at 3 a.m. in Florida. I'm in my office. What else am I going to do? I'm retired. I don't take a salary from shark hunters. What else would I do? Go play golf? No, that's a punishment. So anyhow, this I believe is a safe house. I've seen the home Hitler lived in on the Obersalzberg, called the Berghof. It's all gone now. The government over there, in its wisdom, tore it down because if you tear down these houses, it changes history in their mind.
Yeah.
So there's nothing left of the house over there. But, you know, all the stuff for the big guys in the Third Reich was all grandiose. So a little hut made out of flagstone would not be the hut setup for them.
No.
And it wasn't even Bormann's home. Bormann spent a lot of his time down there living in the Plaza Hotel in Buenos Aires, looking over Plaza San Martin, which is a beautiful area. It's a beautiful park. And so, you know, he was paying for protection with Perón.
Mm-hmm.
So why would he live in a place like this?
Of course.
He wouldn't.
No, not a chance.
And a researcher friend of mine down there, who is pretty good up on this, he sent me an email, which is posted there. He says, ha, 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 no one on his sane juice will believe that Bormann anytime lived in this rat's cave. My holy heaven. Remind your members he lived in the Plaza Hotel in Buenos Aires. Yeah, and we confirmed that with, as I told you in a previous show, I went there and introduced myself to the manager, Senora Rodriguez, very mm-hmm. nice lady, explained what I was doing, and I said that my research indicates that Bormann lived in the hotel there with two young ladies for the first few years after the war. And she says, oh, yeah, room 740, the presidential suite.
Wow.
And I said, well, you knew this? And she says, oh, yeah, everybody knew that. She says, but we didn't know about the two young ladies. I said, well, maybe that was not something everybody was supposed to know.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, she didn't know from personal experience.
Right.
She was much too young, but everybody in the hotel...
But it's all been passed along. Everybody knows it. They don't,
exactly.
Part of their cultural history, really.
Yeah, and everybody knew that Hitler lived out his life in Argentina, etc. So
they all did. I mean, there was no mystery to any of them. Nobody went, well, what are you talking about? That's impossible. Nobody
yeah, the majority
that.
Of the people, you know, up here, you say that Hitler didn't commit suicide in the bunker, and they look at you like you're nuts because history says he did. Down there, they look at you like you're nuts because everybody knows he lived out his life in Argentina. So I guess the left hand don't know what the right hand was doing there.
Well, that's why he needed two young women.
Yeah, he gets extra points in my book for that.
So, Gordon, well, I know your past. And
back, yeah, hey, we had plenty of groupies during my race car days. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But that's another whole story.
Well, that's what life is supposed to be. You're supposed to have fun. And that's one thing I don't see in America much anymore, people having honest fun. You know, young people, I don't want to get off on a tangent, but young people laugh, and it's always the big laugh. But it's not funny. They're just laughing to laugh.
Yeah.
And I think that the sense of humor of our people, our culture, has largely been eroded. It's very sad. People
very
like you
eroding,
and
everything.
Yeah. You remember what it's like to laugh, for God's sakes. Come on.
Yeah, that's true. And to have a good time. You know, I was young. I was single. I never did drugs in my life, but I smoked big black cigars, never cigarettes, big black cigars when I was racing because it was part of the image, drank a whole lot of Canadian Club.
Yeah, that's
that was part of the image.
The cigar was the Adolf Galland image.
Yeah. Oh, they all did. Of course, I didn't know anything about
not then,
the Third Reich back in those days, but Kretschmer, he smoked cigars. So, you know, but then, you know, later in life, you know, you realize, okay, the image is nice, but I'm not a race car driver anymore.
Right.
And when I was living on my boat in the Bahamas, rum was $1.98 for an imperial quart that you couldn't even buy Coca-Cola for that price. So, but that was a long time ago. Long time ago. Many moons.
Well, fun moons. Glad you got them to look back on. Okay, let's get back on our trip here.
Now you look down at point three there, and it says if you watch a certain TV series, you saw the experts, quote unquote, finding the Nazi coins, and it says right there that one of the park rangers told us that the crew brought the coins to the site and scattered them around so they could be found.
Discovered.
On camera.
God.
Yeah, discovered.
Sickening.
Yeah. Bless their hearts.
Oh, yeah.
Because this place, like I say, this place has been a state park since 1995. If there were any coins laying around, bunches of people would have gotten them by now.
Yep.
So.
Okay. Well, very good. Shall we look at that table? Yeah, look at that table. And you'll see, oh, there's a cave or a bunker, something, a hole in the ground.
Yeah, that's
there.
What I'm pointing at, Martine there. Martine is looking in good shape. Me, I look like I've been three rounds with Muhammad Ali. But like I say, it was over 120 degrees. I had only been out of the hospital a couple of weeks. And then the fun came going back up that hill. Martine was on the verge of calling an ambulance for me. Because, going up that hill, the last 200 yards, my body just wasn't going to move. And in the back of my head, I could hear my old drill sergeant shouting at me, come on, Cooper, 20 more yards, let's go, pick him up.
Did you sit down and rest, or did you keep pushing it?
I had to keep going, because if I sat down, I wouldn't have got up for a while.
Oh,
so
I
got up
it.
To the ranger place, and I was going to lay down on the deck there at the ranger shack, and the ranger said, no, sit up so the breeze blows around you. My body was on fire, and my head was pounding. I was on the verge of a heat stroke. So I had water bottles in each hand, and with the left hand I'm drinking, with the right hand I was pouring water over my head and chest, and Martine was really worried. I said, Harry, I'll take you to the hospital. I said, what hospital? We're in the middle of the jungle, for Christ's sake. So I drank about 2 liters of water, and I must have poured literally 5, 6, 7 gallons of water over my head and chest. And even the ranger was bringing me their own ice water out of their fridge to pour over me.
Wow.
And all that stuff on the table, that's what I took out of my pockets because I forgot to take all that stuff out of my pocket. And you see $80 U.S. money soaking wet and a couple thousand pesos soaking wet, my passport. Oh, and I forgot I had my $1,000 Nikon hanging around my neck, too. It needs to go into the shop.
Okay, so all that on the table was yours.
Yeah, well, it came out of my pocket soaking wet.
Well, okay, all right. Well, you made it. Thank goodness.
Thank God for that. Yeah. And when we were about to get into Martine's car, he pulled a blanket out of his trunk and put it on the passenger seat. Harry, I don't offend you, I hope, but I said, no, I understand. It's your brand new car. You don't want. I was soaking wet from head to foot, soaking wet. So I said, okay, no problem. Put me in the car and back to the hotel. He had air conditioning in his new Volkswagen.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see where he wouldn't want some soggy guy sitting down in his car.
Yeah.
But we had found not only, well, we didn't find it, but we were there, the main house, and then there's another house about, 40 yards away, the ruins of another house. And my guess is that the main house was a safe house for people wanting to either cross the river into Paraguay mm-hmm. or go 20 miles the other direction into Brazil. But the other house, the smaller house, I'm guessing, was for a small staff. You know, people to look after the house, servants, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm pointing at that little hole or cave, whatever, and we stuck our cameras in there and couldn't find anything of any great interest. But
How deep did it go?
It went back probably about 10, 20 feet.
That was it?
Yeah, we didn't see anything exciting in there. Mm-hmm. That's probably where all them Nazi coins were buried that the TV special found.
Mm.
Yeah, I know. Right along, maybe that's where the Ark of the Covenant was hidden.
I think so. Looks like it to me.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, let's back up out. I click back on your browser, and we'll go back to the main page, day 20. Day 20, Harry survived, and...
Yeah.
We're moving on to day 21 now.
Day 21. Click on either of the flags. The Argentine flag is on the left. The Brazil flag is on the right.
And, okay, got it.
There we go. Let's see. Okay, we got up the next morning after our trek through the woods.
How did you sleep?
Yeah, and our...
How did you sleep that night after that horror you went through? You sleep
like
well?
Like a brick.
Yeah.
Like a brick. I got out of my clothes, took a hot shower, warm shower to get rid of all the dust and sweat and all that,
mm-hmm.
and fell into bed, and I was out like a light. Air conditioning going full tilt. You couldn't control it. It was either on or it was off. And I was trying to control it by keeping the window open and letting some of the hot air in and the air conditioner going, but then I noticed a mosquito coming in. I decided, nope, that's it. Shut the window, kill the mosquito, and freeze.
Huh. Well.
So, man, what the heck? I came out of it alive.
Yeah, that was a real ordeal. If Martine was afraid, then that kind of tells me all I need to know. That's tough.
Yeah, and... So finally, and even Miguel was a little concerned, but, you know, he was going to take me to the hospital. What mm-hmm. hospital? We were in the middle of the jungle, for Christ's sake.
No, yeah.
So, Crazy. Anyhow, you know, God watches out for idiots like me.
Especially Irishmen. Now,
yeah, that's it.
Okay. Happy St. Patrick's Day, by the way.
Just a little late, a couple days late.
It's all right. Okay, so we have our next section of pictures here.
Yep.
Tell us
day
what
21.
We're doing. Looks like a restaurant to me. How odd, all right?
Yeah, it is. I go from one restaurant to another. The hotel we were at did not have a breakfast room, but they had a deal going with the restaurant down the street. You mm-hmm. know, just go in and show them this little card they gave us, and we get our breakfast. It was a nice breakfast. I didn't eat very much while I was down there because my body was still trying to come back to normal again.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But this restaurant is called La Carpa Azul, the Blue Carp. Who names their restaurant the Blue Carp?
But wow. Did they have a pond of fish there?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe behind there they did, or maybe they got it out of the river. You know, we were very close to the river.
Mm-hmm.
But I I live in Florida, but I'm not a big seafood lover, and carp is probably at the very bottom of my list of things. They must have deals with other hotels because they're set up to serve 300 people.
Mm.
We were the only ones there at that point in time.
Mm-hmm.
We got good service. So then we headed up the highway. Stand by one here. Let's see. Yeah. Martine was going to take me into Brazil and drop me at my hotel there. And we noticed heavy police presence all along the road. And Martine said that for many years, young women were kidnapped along this road and forced into prostitution and never seen again.
You tell which road? The one with the colorful concrete barriers? Or
right, yeah. Well, that's the bridge over the river, but the uh-huh. road leading up to it was uh-huh. about 30, 40, 50 kilometers long. And we had to stop at a police stop, and we had to buy two tickets for 20 pesos each for eco-tourism. I told them I'm trying to leave the biggest carbon footprint I can. They didn't understand that. They just wanted 40 pesos, which was $2.70 U.S. We didn't have any choice.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a nice road. It's one of the few roads that was really nice. There are some roads in Paraguay and in Uruguay and in Argentina that are beautiful roads. The majority of them, though, once you get off the federal highways, they're really not very fun.
Huh.
And like you say, the different colors, the one on the left there, the blue and white, that's the Argentina side of the bridge, and then the green and yellow is the Brazil side of the bridge.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, and it's a very modern bridge. And then the next one down as we get to the border.
Uh-huh. That's the border station there. Okay.
That's correct, into Brazil.
See the truck? Yeah, I got it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was real easy to go through. Boy, I'll tell you what, normally getting a visa for Brazil is a pain in the butt. You got to go to the consulate. You have to appear in person, which means I would have to drive either to Atlanta or to Miami, and which I did for this one about 3-4 years ago. And they'll take your passport, your money, and your picture, and 2 to 3 months later, they'll mail your passport back to you with the visa. When I went, this was about 3 years ago, and I was going to go to the Brazilian island Trinidad, which was used after the war as a secret stopover for ships and
submarines.
Well, you've
taken us there before. Yeah, I remember.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So when I went there, I went up to the window, gave them my passport, gave them my paperwork, my money, my picture, and they said, okay, it'll be 2 to 3 months. And I said, no, can you hurry it up? No, can't. And so then I showed them the letters from their Navy inviting me down to their place. Oh, okay, have a seat, Mr. Cooper. Half hour later, bingo, I had my visa.
Wow. That's called
so
juice.
Easy.
That's the way to do it.
That's correct. So we went in there, and from this point on, I'm not going to identify any of the people by name or by location because I'm sure certain TV stations look at my website.
No, they lift stuff all the time.
Yeah, right. So I don't want my friends harassed or I don't want their pockets picked of information, so to speak.
Right.
So I got down there. Martine dropped me off at my hotel, beautiful 4-star hotel, and a really nice room. And my friends, Dr. F and Dr. C, he's an optometrist and she is a gynecologist, and they're experts on something else, which we'll get to very shortly, which will cause people to think I'm a nut again.
What's the blue light thing going on
That's it. in my travels, I've eaten unusual food prepared in unusual ways, but I've never before had spaghetti cooked with a blowtorch.
It looks like an acetylene-type torch, yeah.
It's a blowtorch, yes.
I'll be damned.
Propane or butane or something like that, and he's cooking a spaghetti. It was good. And the
that's funny.
Yeah, and the owner was a young guy, probably in his late 30s. He had great pride in his place, well-deserved. That's him cooking the spaghetti at
That's a
table.
Great gimmick, by the way.
Yeah, it's super. And the two doctors come there quite frequently because when we all walked in the door, oh, my God, it was like, you know, the second coming, you know. Oh, doctor, and come on, your table's ready over here. Bingo, bingo.
Yeah, the spaghetti was good, huh?
It was good, yeah, you betcha, and wine. Yep. I don't normally, but look at the look on my face. Holy cow, I didn't realize how bad I looked until I started looking at these photos. Man.
Well, you look in there like you're starting to come back into focus more.
Yeah, it only took a while. So here's, like it says there, I'll read what it says for those who have small screens. So you might wonder, why am I here meeting with these two doctors? Mm-hmm. They befriended and provided medical care for an old lady in difficult times, and the woman was flat broke. Then they learned who this woman and her mother really was. The woman saw pictures of their dead bodies in Berlin immediately after the fall of the Reich. So how could they know this woman decades later?
Now, I saw that photo many, many, many years ago, and I sent it to Harry, and I said, well, wait a minute, this family all died with all their children. How can that be?
Children, allegedly.
That's right. Poisoned their five kids and then themselves. Six kids and then themselves.
But if you look at the pictures of the children in that photo, you'll see those children are incredibly badly nourished. They're skinny to the point of anorexic or whatever. And so maybe they were not really their kids. Maybe they were dead kids from somewhere else that were dressed up in their clothes.
Oh.
Interesting.
Well, so, cover your tracks, as they say, best you can.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. Hold on. We have to pause here. Did Jerry write to you about Eisenhower's alleged visit in 1954 to Bariloche?
Yeah, you forwarded the email to me. And
a photograph, too.
Right, the photograph of Eisenhower standing there with the president of Argentina at that time. That, I believe, was 1960, July of 1960, because it was hanging in the lobby of that ultra-high-buck hotel, pronounced Xiao Xiao. It's LLAO-LLAO, but it's pronounced Xiao Xiao.
And what city was that, Harry?
That's on the outskirts of Bariloche.
So it's still in the area. Okay. You have to ask yourself, and for those of you who are regulars, you'll already have asked yourself, why would Eisenhower in 1960, apparently right after he left office, maybe he was still in, I don't know the date.
He was still in office in 1960.
All right. Why would he go all the way down there to really what was out in the middle of nowhere? Bariloche was very hard to get to. I mean, you could fly in, but for the regulars, there were no high-speed rail lines and nothing like that.
There was no rail lines at all, and the road
And what did he go there for? Okay. The answer is, obviously, he wanted to see what was going on down there in terms of the remains of the Third Reich.
Also ask yourself, why was Jimmy Carter there during his presidency? Why was Bill Clinton there during his presidency?
Yep.
And why was Mr. Potato Head, Obama, down there last week?
Yep.
This ain't the French Riviera. It's a nice place, but it ain't the French Riviera or Monte Carlo or any of the high buck places these high rollers would be going.
Yeah. Now, this is not to suggest, and at that point in time, do we think that Adolf Hitler and Eva Braun were still there in 1960, or had they moved north? They had moved north, correct, around 1956? Something like
that?
I think
in the mid-50s they moved north into Mendoza and Cordova province.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the house was empty from 55 or 56 onward, but we're not sure. And in trying to get information out of people, they just don't like to talk sometimes.
Wow. All right. Fascinating. Hold on, gang. We'll take a little bit of a break and come right back as we continue our journey with Harry after this.